Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
To launch today's program, let's talk about communication skills. Good communication is so vital to building relationships and getting ahead. So how well do you communicate? It seems like it should be so easy, but so often emotions get in the way. We say one thing and wind up communicating another. Here's the good news. Esteemed author and psychotherapist Jude Bijou assures that effective communication boils down to four simple rules. Rule one, talk about yourself. Share what you feel, think, want, and need. Let the other person know where you're coming from. Rule two, stay specific on the topic, your request, the reasons. Rule three, be kind. Compassion fosters love and mutual respect. And rule four, simply listen. Seek to truly understand what others are saying, encouraging them to talk. Good communication skills work in the bedroom and in the boardroom, with your kids, with your boss and your coworkers, with your neighbors and with strangers you just met. Fortunately, Jude says they're not that hard to master. They just take practice. And to learn a whole lot more about effective communication and your pathway to a healthier, happier way of life, I highly recommend Jude Bijou's acclaimed book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint to Building a Better Life. And you can find that book, or preview it and buy it on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or on Jude's website, AttitudeReconstruction.com. And go to Jude's website to buy the book, learn something about every imaginable topic, or sign up for her newsletter. And her book is available at Amazon, both in paperback or electronic download. And once again, Jude's website is AttitudeReconstruction.com. When you look in the mirror, do you feel like the real you is gone? Does it seem like your best years are all behind you? Worse yet, do you spend your waking hours low on energy, directionless, perhaps downright depressed, grieving over something that you've lost, maybe vibrant health following a major accident or illness, or maybe simply from years of overeating or a sedentary lifestyle, maybe that optimistic outlook of your youth when the sky is the limit, that great job you lost when your company was taken over, or your once loving marriage that ended in divorce? Well, my next guest, Tanya Ware, is here to assure you that it is possible to snap back, and just listen to her challenge. In a matter of seconds, she went from an executive and budding singing star to dying in her master bathroom, then coming back to life against all odds, only to face 6 long years as a virtual shut-in, and she's fought back and is dedicated to helping others recover from devastating circumstances to reclaim their lives.
And,
excuse me.
Yes.
Tanya?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you must have gone away for a second. I don't know what happened. But
anyway, yes, I'm here, though.
I was just telling people, that you, giving your bio, you were 12 years as a benefit and retirement planning executive for a Fortune 500 company working 16 to 18 hours a day. And then in 2006, you recorded your debut album, Tanya Ware, The Voice, including an award-winning hit single praised around the world. Then came sudden death and disability, and following 6 years as a virtual shut-in, Tanya now defines her true calling as helping people around the world reset their inner compass, understand who they really are, and find their place of purpose in the world. And earlier this year, she released her inspirational book, Life is Your Song, Discover Your Voice. And hello, Tanya, you are an inspiration to all of us in our middle years.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me today.
Well, briefly tell us about your 2006 death experience and the subsequent 6 years of disability. Did you have any advance warning, or did it just happen all of a sudden?
I didn't. I felt really, really good getting up to that point. Of course, I felt, you know, tired because I was working really long hours. But
yes,
just like most people that are trying to climb that corporate ladder and accomplish certain things by a certain age, I was just kind of in the flow of working really hard. I got up that morning in late December 2006 to get dressed for work. Walked into my master bathroom and suddenly died because of cardiac arrest. And I was revived, but I went from that incident to a series of doctor appointments and medical tests and was declared totally disabled. And I was at the time only 38 years old.
Wow.
And so my entire life in that moment changed. I didn't have an opportunity to get my mind ready for it, my family ready for it, my company ready for it. It just happened so quick. And I was actually disabled more than 6 years, almost 7 years. I still haven't been released to drive. So I've not driven since February 2007. And everything about how I lived my life had to be altered because of the medical issues that I faced and the things that I still deal with today. And I was just early 2014, last year, I was watching an interview with Oprah Winfrey and LL Cool J.
Oh.
And in this interview, Oprah says to him, "What do you do about the things that you've not accomplished yet that you hoped you had really gotten done by this age in your life?" And he made the comment that dreams don't have deadlines.
Isn't that amazing? You'd just be happening to listening to watching a television program and you'd find that inspiration.
Yes, just like your show and so many other amazing programs out there, TV and online and on radio. It was, for me, it was just that one phrase that I heard him say that really sparked something in me. And I remember thinking in that moment, because I grabbed my iPhone and recorded it, that even though I couldn't change my life totally, I could do something to make my life better.
Yeah.
And I decided that day that I would kind of just start to chronicle, you know, just journal my story and talk about things that I know I needed to do and share my story with others, and it developed into this book called Life Is Yourself.
That's wonderful. You have that moment of inspiration, but then you move on to change your life rather than just letting it sink in and then forget about it a few hours later. But so after that moment of inspiration, what were your initial steps to recovery? What did you what steps did you take to create the future and go down that road to recovery?
The first thing that I did was I realized that I needed to change the things that I was listening to every day, the sad songs and the negative conversation and meditating on the bad reports from the doctor. So when I saw how that one phrase so impacted me, I went through all of my DVDs, my iPhone, my songs, and I started to create kind of like an inventory of inspirational messages and words and songs and things that would really help me keep my spirit up. Because it's difficult to move forward in life if your daily meditation is sadness. Now, see, for me, I really didn't know what my future held, and my daily meditation was death. I really thought that I was going to die, that I wasn't going to be here to raise my daughter. At the time, I had one child, and but I wasn't going to be here. So the first thing I did was I changed the things that I listened to. The second thing I did, and your listeners may be shocked, I had a good cry.
Not the
woe is me, nobody knows what I'm going through kind of cry, but a cry about that allowed me to just let go of what I thought my life should be so I could move on.
That's so important to let yourself do that. You know, there's nothing wrong with being sorrowful over something so long as you, like to say, let go and then move on to more positive thoughts.
Yes, I actually really encourage people to allow themselves to grieve. I was the top producer for my company at the time and was doing all kinds of amazing things, but I lost that life It was a death for me, and I had to grieve it. I just had to cry and be sad about it and understand it was over, but I could do something else with my life. So the second thing I did was a good cry. The third thing I did was I started to laugh.
Yeah.
I remember, like, getting movies like What About Bob, finding really great comical movies, and just practicing laughing. And it seems funny, but I started to laugh, and the awesome thing about laughing is that every time you laugh, you're not crying or having
anything
thoughtful. So I did that.
It's very hard to laugh or to feel sad when you're laughing.
Exactly.
<weird.
laughs> I know, right?
Yeah.
And I just practiced laughing, and what you know, this is scientific. Scientifically, they've proven that there are things that are released in your body and in your brain that heal you when you laugh.
Yeah.
Laughter is like a medicine. And so that was the third thing I did. The fourth thing I did was I used the power of singing. You don't need skill. You don't need skill. You don't have to be a singer. But find just an uplifting song to sing and give it all you've got. Singing releases. It releases worry, and it puts a smile on your face. So I did that.
My wife gets mad at me sometimes at night when I'm listening to a record I really like and singing, letting it all go and singing loudly.
Yeah,
she claims it's disturbing the neighbors, but I'm sure nobody really hears.
but, you know, it's just think about how you feel afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, when you just let a chorus rip, you know, you don't worry about how it sounds and if it's on key and if you have the right tone or pitch. The point of singing is letting yourself be lost in something other than the state or the situation that you're in.
Amen.
And always, it puts a smile on my face. So that was the fourth thing I did. The fifth thing I did was I got my body in motion. You always, the emotions will copy your posture. So I was laying down all the time.
Yeah.
And every day I'm laying down and I'm depressed. But the moment I decided to sit up and walk and get outside, sit on my porch, then things started to happen.
I have that exact same experience. I love to take a walk and I love to sit out on my porch and get in motion.
Yes. Also, I did something that's really important. I realized that I had the right to reject.
Yeah.
So whenever a thought or a word or a person brought me sadness or heartache or pain, I had the right and I took the right to reject it, to release it, and to refocus.
Yeah,
so I didn't fuss and debate with people, but if they said something that created the wrong emotion for me, I separated myself for a moment, recollected my thoughts, and made the decision.
Yeah, you know, it's so great when you're able to realize that a negative thought is coming up in your mind and then relate to where that's coming from and why you're having it, and then say, I hereby reject having it.
Right, because you can do that.
Yeah.
You can actually say, this is not going to be my meditation. This is not going to be something. I always tell people I'm not going to co-sign for that.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
You know, they say, oh, Tanya, you look so sad today. You sure you're going to be able to go to the wedding? Roy, are you sure you're going to be able to do this? Michael, are you sure you're going to be they'll call your name and they'll say, you look sick today. And you just say, listen, I'm really fine. I'm good. The seventh thing that I did to really do more than just be excited about the phrase in the moment, but really move my life forward, was I started serving other people.
Yeah, that's so crucial. I know we talk about renewal.
Right.
You can't really fully renew if you concentrate totally on yourself. And
right.
also, if you're feeling bad, I know from my experience when I was out of work years ago and things like that, when I'm helping other people look for a job or helping other people and inspiring other people, I get out of my own problems, and it's such a win-win situation.
It is. There's something about breaking up the focus of yourself and making your focus, instead of inward, having your focus go outward. Now, what I found was that inward vision causes depression, but outward vision causes change.
Yeah,
and so the moment that I started to serve others and to be concerned about others and to think about others, I started to impact the world that I was living in. And the amazing thing is that the book that I wrote, Life is Your Song, Discover Your Voice, available on Amazon.com, by Tanya Weir. It teaches you how to reset your inner compass. When you go through something difficult, for me it was death and disability. For another person, it could be the loss of a child or the loss of a marriage or the loss of a job. But whenever something traumatic happens in your life, you lose yourself in that pain.
Yeah, I like the way you talk about, like, our inner mind is like a computer, and sometimes we need to reboot that computer.
You do. You
do. Clear out the negatives and reprogram.
Right. And I talk about that because you have to reset your inner compass. Sometimes you can't move forward because your computer screen or your mind or your mental state is frozen.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you've dealt with has just been such a shock that it's frozen. And so resetting your inner compass is very important to you moving forward with your life, because if you're in your car with the GPS system on trying to get from, you know, New Jersey to, you know, an outlying town, you put the destination in, but if you make the wrong turn, after making so many wrong turns, your GPS system will go quiet a lot of times. And it just waits for you to obey it. And a lot of times your mind just has to stop, reset. You have to unplug and just, you know, take a moment to reflect. It's okay to
I noticed in the reviews of your book, there were some very positive reviews about how your book had really drawn the reader into the action so that they received maximum benefits. I know you have a lot of participatory exercises, or participatory, I can't say. Well, but that's so crucial when people actually don't just sit down and read a book, but they actually work and work along with it. And you have, in each section you have some participatory exercises?
Yes. So first of all, the book is not even 100 pages, because I hate long processes.
Yeah.
After being stuck in my house for more than 6 years, almost seven years, I don't do anything that takes a long time. So your reader will have a book that's super short, super simple to understand. And after every tip, I give them a space to write what the five things, the five actions they will take to move their lives forward.
Oh, that's great.
The cool thing is that they can stay on one action for a year if they want.
Yeah.
There's no timeline to get through the book. I just know that if I had a choice to give you soup or teach you how to make your own soup, I would want to teach you how to make your own food. So the book is determined, I'm determined through this book to teach people how to change their own lives. You don't have to live. My mom was told that she had 6 months to live, and she would not see us grow up because she had stage 4 ovarian cancer. Mm. She looked at her doctor and said to him, listen, I will never forget this. She said to her doctor, I'm not dying and I'm not going anywhere because my husband cannot comb my girl's hair. And she decided with 6 months to live that she was not going to die because she had something else that she wanted to do.
That's wonderful. I say
to all your listeners today, to your audience, that you have been called for greatness. There is greatness on the inside of you.
Yeah.
No matter what the problem has been, the challenge or the issue or who's even left your life, you have been called to greatness. And all you need to do is reset your inner compass, make a determination that you will do life on your own terms, and just go for it.
Well, I noticed on your website, TanyaWare.com, you offer those seven steps that we talked about that you can use to for beating depression naturally, and I like those seven steps. So I would highly recommend people go to that website. And you also, I know you're available as a motivational speaker at conferences, half and full day workshops, and executive retreats. So I guess they could contact you through that website.
Right, they can. They can reach me through my website, TanyaWare.com. I do a lot of conferences and small groups, as well as corporate events, because a lot of times the challenges we face are not things that we need to fix on the outside. It's a brokenness within your soul. So, you know, if I know Roy Richard and you come into this world with all the great aspirations that everyone would have born into this country, but you face all these different challenges, somehow it gets inside of you and it hinders your progress. And so I teach people how to reset their inner compass, how to be more effective, and I just love it because after 7 years of being a shut-in, nearly 7 years of being a shut-in, 6 years and like 10 months, you know, I'm just on a mission to help people get unstuck, to help companies get unstuck,
so
to help
wonderful,
people get unstuck. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
That's such a wonderful, inspirational story at that length of time, and then you've snapped out of it, and now we're moving forward to help others rather than grieving over your own circumstances. I also understand also people can look at your music. You've got a couple albums listed in there, and you have another one coming out this year.
Yes, I'm actually working on a jazz album as we speak. So. I was accepted into a jazz program at the Mississippi, the Jacob School of Music in Bloomington, Indiana. And I love singing. It's a part of what I do. And, again, I still haven't driven since 2007. My doctor's diagnosis hasn't changed, but I've changed. And it may take me longer to record this album, but what I want to encourage people to do is to not give up, even if it's a baby step. Yeah. Forgive somebody today. Make one phone call toward your purpose in life today. Get out and walk a mile today. Just do something.
I love what your mother said to the doctor. You're not telling me I'm going to die in 6 months because I've got too much to live for.
I got children with really long hair. I got to comb their hair.
Yeah.
And their dad can't do it. And that's what she said. She says, I'm not going anywhere because it's not my time. And she defied a diagnosis. A stage 4 cancer. She defied a stage 4 cancer, went back to college at 43, got her degree and graduated at 51.
Wow.
You know, so I mean, you can be in the worst possible situation. Yeah. I would say if you have 2 days to live or 200 years to live, make the best of it.
Just make the best of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, most of us will never have to endure what Tanya Ware did with her traumatic death experience, followed by almost 7 year long years as a shut-in. But many of us in our middle years are experiencing a sense of loss and disenchantment at what we have lost, where we are today, and what the future holds. And hearing Tanya's story, all of us can benefit from flipping that inner power switch back on, becoming the architect of our own destiny, and pushing forward with our dreams one small step at a time, as she puts it. And for your blueprint to recovery, I highly recommend Tanya's book, Life is Your Song, Discover Your Voice. And as you say, you can get that on Amazon.com and I guess through your website as well.
And through my website, they can also go into Barnes and Noble and order it. But you know, if your audience has never been into music or musicians or singers, the reason why I titled the book that is because the life, just like music, has lots of movement and texture and ups and downs.
Yeah.
And regardless of what happens in life, we just have to find our rhythm. And live our rhythm, and that's really key.
Well, for your blueprint to recovery, I recommend Tanya Ware's book, Life is Your Song, Discover Your Voice. It's a short book, only 82 pages, but it will draw you in and pull you along as you reset your compass and launch your own action plan. And her book is another great reminder that you can't always control what happens to you, but you and only you can determine how you react and where you go forward from whatever your present circumstance. And thanks a million, Tanya Ware, for inspiring us with your story.
Thanks for having me, man. It's just been great being on the radio with you today. And
best of success with your new book and your upcoming jazz album. We'll keep that in mind. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I introduced you to the concept of a mental vacation, taking time off away from stress and the worries of today to determine what you'd like to do with the rest of your productive years. But what if you're having trouble imagining an ideal vocation? A lot of us, I know me until a few years ago, I knew what I was doing, what I didn't want to be doing, but I didn't know what I really would like to be doing. If you're at a loss in defining what your ideal vacation is or vocation, then I suggest you ask yourself six questions. One, how do I most like to spend my free time? And I'm not just talking about watching TV. I'm talking about active hobbies or avocations you might have. What do I do for fun when no one else tells me what to do? Question two, what were my fondest childhood memories? Who were my heroes? As an adult, who in the whole world would I most like to emulate, and why? Question number three, of all the individuals I know, who has the best job? Why is this person so blessed and successful? Would I trade places? Question four, what vocations do I most admire? Do certain career profiles make my heart jump whenever they are mentioned? I know a few years ago I really would have liked to be a country singer. I love good old country music, not the new stuff they put out today, but I would love to have done that. That was not my calling, unfortunately, because my voice isn't that great. But see what you would, what kind of profile you really admire. Question number five, which careers do friends and loved ones suggest I pursue? Can they picture me as a high school basketball coach, a chef, or an interior designer? And question number six, what world challenge or desire or need in others do you see that you would most like to respond to? Obviously, we need to be passionate about what we're doing in terms of how it is serving other people. And if you're passionate about that, then you're much more likely to be inspired at your career. Another side issue is, where does the most recent aptitude test that you have taken predict you would prosper? And if you haven't taken one, why not schedule it now? And once you identify the vocation of your dreams, then you need to pause to examine it like you would an attractive employment listing in your local newspaper or on the internet. Ask yourself then five essential questions. Am I qualified today to perform my dream vocation? Based upon my qualifications, would a recruiter seriously consider hiring me? And if you're not fully qualified now, can you become qualified? How much time, energy, and money would it take? Question number four, how much could I expect to earn pursuing my dream vocation? Would anticipated compensation combined with other sources of income support our family's intended lifestyle? And the final question is, do my spouse and children support transition to my dream vocation? Are they willing to share any necessary short-term financial sacrifice? And as a next step, visualize yourself performing routine daily functions, and I mean real visualization. Close your eyes and put yourself in that position. Do you enjoy the routine functions associated with your dream vocation? Have you ever attempted similar tasks? Are you certain you wish to dedicate 8 or 9 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week, maybe not that many hours, who knows, but performing the required job functions? Are you convinced beyond a doubt that your dream vocation is not simply a passing fancy? Now for the $64,000 question. If the dream vocation has passed those prior tests, are you ready to transform your dream into reality? Will anyone compensate you for chasing your dream? And before plunging into any new career, you may wish to pause long enough to critically examine your current job. Could it be that you actually admire most aspects of your career, but that your life in general is out of balance? Or perhaps you remain fully committed to your current profession or trade, but you badly need a change of workplace or employer. And does your employer know that you would like some modifications to what you're doing now? There may be a lot of flexibility there. But should you conclude absolutely that change is required, but that your dream vocation, as it's currently laid out, is not an option, then you need to launch a new search for a realistic middle ground. Write down a list, as many as you can, of potential alternative jobs that would utilize similar skills and talents and provide job satisfaction not unlike your ideal. This time, list only realistic career options given your age, education, work experience, personality, and family responsibilities. You know, if I'm in my 50s and I've never been a physician before. I'm not likely to be able to become one, but if I have a background in business, I could get into hospital administration. Maybe I could open a health food store or get into some area of health food distribution or some type of service that provides many of the same positive vibes that being a physician would do. That's what you want to look for, that middle ground. And in examining potential alternative vocations, ask yourself the same five questions you addressed for your ideal and your goal over the remaining several days or weeks of your mental vacation is to select one realistic primary target vocation, maybe even more than one. Maybe you need a backup as well, who knows. But in the end, this could turn out to be simply a change of employer or an enhancement to your present job. And your final task then is to thoroughly plan out each stage of an actual career transition. And we'll talk all about that on a future program. But, you know, taking a mental vacation is just one of 21 self-help exercises in my book that's written especially for you, a person of middle age who is seeking more joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment out of life. And in the book, we work not only with career, but also with attitude in general, lifestyle, relationships, marriage, parenting, midlife transitions, and a whole lot more. And my book is A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. And you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or at my website, middleagerenewal.com. Also, I'd like to speak at your next company or organization meeting. I can speak on how to revive your spirits, both individually and as a team, so that maximum joy is had by all and performance is maximized going forward. And I'd love to speak with you as a public speaker, and you can inquire about that on my website as well, middleagerenewal.com. And thanks a lot for joining us this week on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. See you all again next week.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.